Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you had fantastic Thanksgivings with your family and friends. I hope you lived an absolutely normal life and were not in your garage giving your friends and family rapid COVID tests in your pre-game, pre-meal festivities. So much to get into. I was at the Iron Bowl for Auburn, Alabama, one of the best games ever in one of the great rivalries of all time. Met so many awesome Clay and Buck listeners there in Auburn, Alabama. Sorry for the War Eagle contingent for that late collapse. We have got a new variant. Joe Biden is speaking about it right now. And he says it's a cause for concern, not a cause for panic. We'll give you some of that discussion here in a bit. Dr. Fauci says that he is science in an awkward, uncomfortable, and wildly, wildly evidentiary to me status there that he needs to be removed from any sort of government job at all. He should have been fired a long time ago. We'll give you Dr. I am science Fauci. Kyle Rittenhouse attended Arizona State, attends Arizona State. He was very proud of that. We told you that that was going to come into question in the wake of his not guilty verdicts, and already there are protests at Arizona State demanding that he be kicked out of school. We have got bans on African travel, which we were all told was wildly racist when Donald Trump did them, but because of the new variant coming out of South Africa, it now is totally acceptable since Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are doing it. Florida data, some positives, all-time low in hospitalizations from COVID going all the way back to April of 2020. No mask mandate, no vaccine mandate in Governor Ron DeSantis's free state of Florida. We will discuss that. We are going to be joined by Alex Berenson in the third hour of this program to discuss the latest on COVID data. Of course, Alex has been banned by many social media platforms, but he can talk directly to all of us through this program, which is a voice of light amid the darkness. Buck Sexton, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was excellent, although there was certainly some discussion around the Thanksgiving leftovers tables over the weekend, because we had food for days and I was with family, about what happens now, Clay. Because you see, you bring news of what it feels like to have relative COVID freedom as
total
a person
freedom.
Who lives.
Yes.
Right. I mean, as a person who lives still, when you get in an Uber, you go to the airport. I'm here in New York City, panic central, as you know. There are masks on people outside all over the place, all over again, even though we were told. We've already been through this. In the springtime, you remember, they were like, you know, probably don't really need masks outside unless you're really close to somebody. But people are freaked out. Biden speaking right now as we talk to everybody across the country about these travel restrictions that you're mentioning, notably on South Africa. It's already in a whole bunch, this Omicron variant. And let's take our moment, because everyone has been making really the same joke here. It was supposed to be, or it would have been eventually the she. I'm not even sure if that's the Greek pronunciation, but it's XI, so it might be
same name as the Chinese
Kai,
dictator, yes.
You know, however you say
Chairman
it.
Chairman Z is the way that I would say it.
Yeah, exactly. They're skipping XI because they don't want it to be the name of the Chinese premier as the variant of the virus. So that's why we're at Omicron right now. And this is just another moment in time where we have to look at what exactly are they telling us? We've been told, oh my gosh, it could be so much worse because of the mutations on the, their actual mutations on the virus. And again, I don't understand the epidemiology. I understand policy, but they're looking at this and they're saying, okay, it could be worse. Well, we don't know if it's worse. So what are we really doing? Okay, we're going to have these travel restrictions in place. You say, well, the travel restrictions right now, Biden says, won't stop the variant.
That's
and
right.
We already have our hospital capacity and therapeutics and all these things that we've been gearing up for. So it's not like at the very beginning when, as you and I know, Clay, stopping travel from China was racist when Donald Trump
was
president.
Racist.
Totally racist. That was a different circumstance based on the timing of what we see here. But what's very clear is that this is yet again an opportunity for there to be additional pressure on everybody must get not just vaccinated, but boosted if vaccinated, because they're not, they don't want to wait for the numbers to come out. They want people to do this, everyone to do this, including children to be vaccinated. And Clay, that's what this really comes down to. It's a moment for them to tell everybody, you must forget natural immunity or forget everything. You must get the shot or else. Everything is going to be you must get the shot or else for the entirety of the winter time under this administration.
This new variant comes out of South Africa, and there is an immediate media panic that has ensued, a political panic that has ensued in the blue states and among the usual COVID fear porn purveyors. We don't know all of the information about it yet, but we do know that the South African doctor who identified this new variant has been urging calm, saying there's no reason to panic. Only mild symptoms so far. The stock market, by the way, on Friday dropped 1,000 points. We had restrictions coming out all over the place. Your home state of New York, Buck, they've done away with any sort of surgery that's non-emergency, elective surgery been ended. But let's listen to what she had to say. Cut 8, the South African doctor discussing her discovery of this new variant.
Looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, currently there's no reason for panicking as we don't see severely ill patients. The most predominant clinical complaint is severe fatigue for 1 or 2 days with the headache and the body aches and pain. Some of them will have what they call a scratchy throat, and some will have a cough, a dry cough, but it's not a constant cough. It comes and goes. And that's more or less the big symptoms that we have seen.
So, Clay, also there's a point here about when people say it comes from South Africa, that's actually not even known epidemiologically.
Right.
I've been looking into it.
That's right. Some way in South Africa.
So it may just be that they had been testing very aggressively in a certain area and found it first because it already is in other places. So this notion that we can isolate even the origin of a virus like this, or even the first, does anyone think this is the first mutation or the first variant? It's not like there's a variant mutation and we get the patient zero, so to speak, the first guy. This is just where they're finding it, which
yes.
means it's already, Fauci even said, it's already probably here in America. I think they've even had a handful of cases, Omicron cases in Australia, but given, which is very locked down, which is why that's noteworthy. It still has a lot of international travel restrictions. I mean, right now, Clay, Fauci is addressing the country, and I do think that he is the worst public health official in the modern history of the United States and arguably in the planet. But put that aside for a second. He, and we'll come back to it, must vaccinate the world to beat the pandemic. This is now the whole world must get vaccinated to beat the pandemic is what the messaging is from the Biden administration. How long is that going to take?
Well, and also, especially when the vaccines aren't particularly effective at preventing the spread of the virus. This is what we said, by the way, on this show for months, that one of the reasons why they argued that every single person out there had to be vaccinated in the United States, kids, particularly people who've already had COVID, was they said, well, you don't know where the variants are going to emerge. And we said on this show, actually, you can kind of come up with a mathematical probability, and it's going to be the countries where there are large populations and where the virus is spreading most significantly. Delta, we think, came out of India, and now this newest variant is coming out of Africa. Huge populations there. The virus is going to mutate. And by the way, we should say this, too. Some viral mutations could be favorable. We've only been focused on Delta makes it easier to spread, all those things. It's possible, oftentimes this happens, Buck, where a virus mutates to become easier to transmit, but far less virulent. So it could be that this new variant out of South Africa, which the doctor who found it, let me make sure I get her name right, that we were just listening to, Dr. Angelique Coetzee, it could be, and we'll talk about this with Berenson in the third hour, that some of these variants that emerge actually are helpful because they are less debilitating and significant, even in the case of the elderly, as these variants spread. The mutations, in other words, could be beneficial as opposed to always being negative, which is the way the media covers them.
And yet the panic that ensued on Friday, I got to tell you, felt so overblown from the perspective of an administration that at this point has had multiple variants. And I think this is why they're having this, and Biden's still now talking to the country. He says, I don't believe shutdowns or lockdowns will be needed. The fact that this is right now, okay, right yes. as we're talking to you, Biden's also saying everybody should wear a mask indoors. They want to go, based on this, and you have yes. that South African doctor saying, look, she's essentially describing the symptoms of a mild cold. I think
right.
we all know that. That is, when you're talking about a slight sore throat, fatigue, you know, or maybe a pretty, you know, a medium cold, Biden is saying, I don't believe shutdowns or lockdowns will be needed. The fact that their mentality is that we would ever go back to that? The answer to that should be no, never again. It wasn't effective when we did it the last time. You're going to do this again? This just shows the mentality. These people have lost their minds.
They have, Buck. And there's never going to be lockdowns in the red state America again. Never, ever, ever are people going back to that. I don't even think people in the red state America are going to wear masks. And what I keep waiting for, and it hasn't happened yet, is for blue state America to say, we're done with this. New York, California, Michigan, Pennsylvania, places where Illinois, there have been draconian dictator-like metrics that have been undertaken that are doing nothing to make people safer. By the way, this is the significant part. Florida, and I wanted to read this because I doubt that anybody else is hardly even going to discuss this in the media. I think it's kind of a significant detail. This is this morning. Florida announced that they now have the lowest rate of COVID hospitalization that they have had going all the way back to April of last year. Under 1,000 statewide hospitalizations for the first time since they began tracking this beginning in April of 2020, Florida has the lowest case rate in the country and the second lowest hospitalization rate, no COVID vaccine mandate, and no mask mandate virtually anywhere in the state. I was down there for Thanksgiving, Buck, and in the free states, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, I was in Alabama for the Iron Bowl. You would never know COVID had ever existed.
Yeah, and you know what they say about that, Clay? That statistic is making the rounds. You're putting it out there. I am. Oh, it's because everybody got so sick over the summer in Florida. That's
okay.
why. That's the, you know, this
herd immunity for the win.
So you sit here, you say, okay, so what exactly that is the way forward in these blue states? Someone explain to me what their plan's going to be. We'll come back into more of this. Plus, Fauci, you know, Louis XIV, you know, l'état, c'est moi, right? I
yes.
am the state. La science is Fauci, apparently. He is science. We'll get to that in a second. You can make a long list of the items and services you purchase every month that are suddenly more expensive. Cell phone service does not have to be one of them. Pure Talk Cellular is changing all that. If you're using AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, you're paying too much money every month. Pure Talk is on the exact same 5G network, using the exact same towers as one of those big carriers, but for far less money. In fact, Pure Talk can save you $50 or $60 a month. A family on a plan can save as much as $800 a year. And switching is so easy. You can keep your number and your phone, or you can use this month to keep your number and get a new iPhone at a great price, just $479. Listen to this offer from Pure Talk. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network is just $30 a month. Clay, how do they get hooked up?
They get hooked up the same way my own son got hooked up, with a 30-day risk-free guarantee, nothing to lose, from your cell phone. Get them in your hands right now. Dial #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. And you can also save, as Buck said, on a brand new phone. Again, from your phones right now, join the tens of thousands of smart listeners who've already saved a bundle with #250, say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for details.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Science is supposed to be something where you're able to ask questions, right? You're supposed to be able to have debate. You're supposed to have a discussion about what's real, what's not. Test and retest hypotheses. There's a scientific method. Sometimes you're wrong. You say, hold on, could this be the case? You try it out. It's wrong. You say, okay, we learned something new. You move forward. Someone says, well, I disagree. You go, okay, well, let's test it. That's what science, as we were all taught in grammar school, is supposed to be. But folks, that's all wrong. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. The notion of science as an approach and a discipline, an intellectual discipline based upon data and truth, that's not... Dr. Fauci is actually science, believe it or not. He is science, the walking embodiment of it. The messiah of science is that evil little Smurf walking around in his lab coat. Here he is.
Anybody who's looking at this carefully realizes that there's a distinct anti-science flavor to this. So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize. But they're really criticizing science because I represent science. That's dangerous.
No serious scientist or human being would ever say that unironically out loud, Clay. I represent science. He's every bit as bad as I've said he is for almost 2 years now.
Also, let's put in context how this interview happens. We have requested Dr. Fauci to come on this show because we have questions we'd like to ask him. We'd be respectful. He's declined, saying he doesn't have time. When I watched this interview with CBS, they had an entire room set up for an in-depth interview on Face the Nation. For people out there who don't understand how these kind of things get set up, this is a weeks in the process sit-down interview with Dr. Fauci in an effort for him to be able to directly combat his critics with almost no pushback from his interviewer. When he says, I am science, which, as you said, the state is me, I am the Senate, these are statements that are megalomaniacal, right? I mean, these are not normal things that a person would say. But when you actually break it down, he seems to me, Fauci, like he is feeling the heat on a level that he may not have before, because this feels like an interview he's doing to try to cancel out some of the negativity.
There's that, and there's also something that I think we're going to be talking about more probably in a few months than we are right now, but that is, what does the history of this actually sound like and look like, this whole pandemic response? Fauci wants to ride this thing out in his position to the end so that they can claim victory.
Yes.
I know this is going to drive people nuts, but the shutting down of playgrounds so kids can't go outside to protect them from COVID, the arresting of the paddleboard around in Cal, all of that will be swept under the rug, and it will be Fauci saved millions of lives and the Biden administration was putting him in the position to do so. That's the narrative that they want to cling to. We'll get to that and more coming up here in a moment. The uncertainty of the stock market continues to make front page headlines. Friday's large dip of 900 points. Today's rebound looks like that's going pretty well, but who knows? It only reinforces the notion you cannot depend solely on stocks and bonds for your retirement plan. You need more consistency and more protection for your savings and IRA accounts. That comes with investing in gold, which has proven to be a reliable way to protect the value of your dollar. Buying gold is one thing. Taking possession of it is another. It's so easy when you have it sent right to your home. And it's a really satisfying experience actually holding that gold in your hands. If you think buying gold is complicated, it's not. Call my friends at the Oxford Gold Group. They'll explain everything to you. Call them at 833-404-GOLD. Learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. The Oxford Gold Group, 833-404-GOLD.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. President Biden has just finished speaking, and he wants everybody to know, hey guys, if we just wear masks and get vaccinated, we're not going to have lockdowns again. I'm going to tell you this right now. If Joe Biden tries to implement lockdowns again, there are going to be protests the likes of which I'm not sure we've ever seen in most of our lives in the United States.
Wait, hold on. You think so?
Yes.
Because
the red states are not locking down.
Yeah, but it was always done at the state level, right? So, if Joe Biden tried a federal lockdown, I totally agree with you. But I think New York and California people have lost their minds. Like, they'll do it again. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. They will do it again because they take the virus seriously.
I will tell you this. My wife asked me the other day, Buck. She said, hey, we were talking about tangible impact on New York City. We're going to try to go away for a couple of days right around Christmas, just the two of us. And she said, hey, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to New York City and and hang out? And just the two of us will go out. And I was like, well, I'm not vaccinated. I'm not going to be able to go to any restaurant. I can't go to any.
What is this? Just the two of us. Where's the Buckster in this equation?
Yeah. Well, we got three kids. She's had a busy fall. Like I've been on the road the whole time. So we're going to get away for a couple of days. And I was like, you know, I love New York. Like a lot of people out there, it's fun to go to New York for a weekend. 100%. I said, no, I don't want to go to New York on a leisure, fun vacation trip. And there have to be millions of people. I was reading that the overall hotel occupancy rate remains massively low for Manhattan, for New York City. And so, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to Florida for a couple of days. And I spent a ton of time in Florida already. But the reason I was thinking about that, Buck, is that's a tangible decision. That is fairly substantial amount of money that I could spend that otherwise would go into New York City coffers, all of the hotel rooms, all the taxes associated with our trip to New York City. Instead, it's going to go to Florida. And the reason why I thought that was interesting is, Buck, Florida has right now, according to the data that I've seen, basically right back where they were in 2019 in terms of vacation. People are traveling to Florida at the exact same rates nearly as they were in 2019.
Do you know where I'm going for my birthday / Christmas? Florida.
Miami, right? South Florida.
Well, yeah, now we're getting real in the details. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not a surprise, right? You're making a tangible decision. People all over the country, maybe Nancy Pelosi's deciding to relocate there. And that's because I really think that there is going to be a uprising. I really think this, Buck, and you can call me crazy. I think blue states, and I think blue state moms in particular, if they try and take their kids back out of school, and if they tell them we're going back remote because of COVID, I really think that they are going to rise up. I think they're not going to take it anymore.
So I'm so exposed, Clay, to the smarmy authoritarians here in New York that I can very easily envision where they're likely to take this in the wintertime. And that is not full on lockdown. And remember, there's so much here. We never did an actual lockdown the way other countries did in America. There were always, it was the, you know, the Zoom meeting / bring you your food.
Has to go to the same grocery store.
But there were always frontline workers, people that were still doing their jobs. I remember going to my grocery store. I know the folks there. They didn't miss a day of work, right? I mean, they were showing up. They were doing their jobs day in and day out. So we never did a full, even 2-week total shutdown of everything, obviously, because you can't do that. And we didn't really do a partial one. We shut down offices, restaurants, you know, a number of other gathering venues. And then a lot of the spread, of course, was occurring in hospitals and homes.
Yes.
Which is what would have been expected, I think. But here's what I think they're going to do. They're going to go back to the quasi-restrictions. We're so abused in the blue states. So everyone who's listening to this in New York, I know the Texans are all like, you know, stinks for you, right?
But Floridians, Tennesseans,
Floridians,
Georgians,
Texans, Tennesseans, you guys are all sitting pretty.
SEC footprint. We're like, screw you guys.
If you live in New York, if you live in California, if you live in any number of New Jersey, you know, large blue states, they're going to probably do not shutdowns of restaurants, but capacity restrictions. Not total shutdowns of businesses, but mask requirements. They're going to bring back these things. And that's going to be one for the compliance, the mentality that this brings about in people, right? I'll do whatever I'm told. And also, if we do have, with all the natural immunity and all the vaccinations that are out there right now, we probably will have a much milder winter from COVID than we did last time. You know what they're going to say, Clay? All the restrictions saved us this time. That's what's good. If we are at 50% of hospitalizations and 50% of fatalities, which, by the way, I hope it's much less than that, but obviously that would be progress. They'll tell you that the mask requirements, the vax mandates, all of that was what saved us.
What's interesting is, unfortunately, places like Michigan, Minnesota, Vermont, New Hampshire, they're all setting, many of them, either close to or new overall hospitalization records right now. Now, I hope the treatments and everything else associated with that is going to lead to a reduced death rate, but I'm not that optimistic about where we are headed. By the way, Fauci, here he is as part of his interview saying, it's really too early to say whether new lockdowns are mandates. We have to prepare for the worst.
I don't know, George. It's really too early to say. We just really need to, as I've said so often, prepare for the worst. And it may not be that we're going to have to go the route that people are saying. This, we don't know a lot about this virus, so we want to prepare as best as we can. But it may turn out that this preparation, although important, may not necessarily push us to the next level. People talking about lockdowns, people talking about that. Let's see what the information that we're getting in real time tells us, and we'll make decisions based on the science and the evidence the way we always do.
I prepare for the worst every time Fauci opens his mouth because he is the worst. So this is not a surprise to me at all. But this was also why I was so concerned even in June, Clay, of this year, when it felt like, all right, we got, you know, vaccines are rolling out. They've relented on masks a little bit, or maybe it was more May, but, you know, things felt like they were really going in the right direction back in May. And I said, no, guys, we're not done here, because they will bring back lockdowns and mask mandates and all these things, because even though the data does not support that this actually worked the way they said it would, it might have worked, you know, 2% or whatever reduction, they pretend like it did. And this is why we keep having this fight. This is why we keep going through this.
This is why also Florida is important, because it's a direct example proving that all of these masks and all these vaccine mandates don't actually work at all. It's all cosmetic theater.
You know, there is a case that's starting. We've been talking a lot about judicial cases, Clay. Very important case right now that has not gotten the due attention that I think it deserves. Jussie Smollett is actually facing
jury
justice.
Trial. Jury being selected.
I have some thoughts on Smollett and the media, and then we have more on Fauci. We got our friend Alex Berenson joining the third hour of the program. His book Pandemia out this week, so y'all should get ready. I kind of just yawled there. See, I hang out with you too much now. This is what happens.
I mean, that's
I'm
what
yawling.
We do. It's our, again, the y'all states are saying, y'all come on down here. We're living normal lives in all of these blue states. I'm telling you, the moms, I really believe this. I think if they try to shut down schools, the moms are going to revolt, Buck. I'm telling you, they are. Even in New Jersey, even in Connecticut, even in New York.
Oh, I don't think
Michigan.
They'll shut down schools. I don't think they'll shut down schools. I think they know
they
that
try.
that's politically too much, but I think they will do restrictions, indoor restrictions, mask requirements. I think that's probably, again, it all depends on what the caseload is too, which we'll continue to follow here. If you're looking to save a little money or find a little extra money, maybe worth looking at the mortgage of your home. It's true. Look, with interest rates near historic lows and home values on the rise, you can use your home to improve your financial situation. The people that can help with this are at American Financing. I'm currently going through the process right now with American Financing. You can get a free mortgage review from a salary-based mortgage consultant. You can learn about custom loan options, because there's more to a mortgage refinance than just a lower rate. You can take out cash, pay off some high-interest debt, even shorten your term. Whatever you need, American Financing can help. You know what I love about them, Clay? Whenever I send an email or a call, I get a great person from American Financing who explains it all to me and just makes the whole process so much easier.
You can call them today. Get hooked up like Buck has been hooked up. 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109. Or you can visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Call them today. 800-777-8109.
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. We have a trial underway soon here for Jussie Smollett. That's right, everybody. Remember Jussie Smollett? The trial starts today. Jury selection underway. Now, this is, of course, a much less serious issue, orders of magnitude less serious than some of the recent trials that have gotten media attention. But there's a reason that Clay and I want to take a moment to talk to you about this one. Because, oh my, the way that people on the left, the Democrats, get things so wrong over and over and don't seem to care, it is fascinating. It's almost like everybody who is in the corporate Democrat media, and certainly all the members of the Democrat Party, are lawyers for anybody on the left out there. It doesn't matter, truth, lies, innocence, guilt, whatever, as long as we're pushing for our team. I give you, as Jussie Smollett goes to trial, remember, Jussie Smollett is a laughable liar who faked a hate crime in such absurd fashion that people like me, and I mean, Clay and I weren't on the same show together then, but this was a few years back. I'm sure Clay was right there too. We're just saying, if you believe this, you're just honestly not very bright, or you're pretending to believe it because it suits the narrative. Kamala Harris, you can pick which one is the case, tweeted this out. Jussie Smollett is one of the kindest, most gentle human beings I know. I'm praying for his quick recovery. This was an attempted modern day lynching. No one should have to fear for their life because of the sexuality or sexuality or their color of their skin. We must confront this hate. Clay, this is the now vice president of the United States. Then she was a senator. How could anyone have heard this story and not said, okay, so this guy wants attention and he's lying?
Well, I mean, just the idea that very many Trump people knew who Jussie Smollett was at its most. When this story came out, I didn't know who Jussie Smollett was. I didn't watch Empire, but I'm way more plugged in than the average person would be when it comes to entertainment who was voting for Trump. The idea not only that you would know Jussie Smollett, but that you would know him on sight, that you would know his sexuality. Like, I have no earthly, like,
Clay, hold on.
All of this was so absurdly ridiculous.
On sight at like 1 a.m. when it's 35 degrees outside in Chicago, and you happen to find him with your MAGA hats on, or I guess the yell, "This is MAGA country."
Yeah, and your nooses, you're just walking around in the street with nooses, like in your MAGA hat. Yeah, look, sometimes, I would say this for everybody, if a story seems too insanely perfect narratively, question it. Just quite like, be skeptical of initial media reports. I was one of the few people into the Jussie Smollett story around the same time. Do you remember Michael Bennett when he came out and he was like, I was profiled in a Las Vegas casino. He's a football player and everybody in sports covered it. Oh my God, Michael Bennett, poor example of racism. And then the videos came out. And he was running. He was refusing to accept police responsibility. Like, all of these things, if everything in the narrative, if you're checking every box so that your side wins in a story, oftentimes it's too good to be true, meaning it's manufactured and made up. But this is the vice president. That tweet's still up, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is indeed. And I just remember I learned a lesson years ago about media coverage with the liberal media, the lib media, maybe you just call them the Marxist media. That would be fun.
Yes.
That would really upset them. But the way that they all jumped on the story of the UVA, rape, remember the
rape.
UVA fraternity rape story that was in Rolling Stone magazine. I remember this. I was, earlier, Mike. Do you remember what year that was? It was earlier, Mike.
Probably 2014 or
that's
something
right.
like that.
So it was much earlier in my career. But I remember my family, it came up and I was sitting at a family dinner and I had just read the article before dinner because it was everywhere, right? And I remember I looked up at my family and I just said, yeah, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And I was angry at myself because you know what my thought was when I read that story in Rolling Stone? Because, and people say, how'd you know? The dialogue was absurd. It was like something out of some after school special, man, this will ruin your reputation. I was in college. You were in college. They said that a young woman with glass in her back ran through like bleeding, ran through a party shrieking. No one called police. No one did. Like, the whole thing made no sense. But Clay, you know what my thought process was? And this reminds me of Jussie Smollett. That's why they can't lie that big, right? There must be something to this. They would know their credibility would be zero if they lied about something so big, so egregiously. Now I realize, I've known this for years. Oh, no, they'll lie about anything as big as they can get away with, and they could care less when they're caught.
Well, that, for me, was the Missouri hoax. all of the race hoaxes
surrounding.
Yeah, at Mizzou. All of it was made up. You know, they had a hunger striker, like the poop swastika, all that. And I was skeptical years before that. I hadn't quite been red-pilled yet, but I was skeptical when the Duke lacrosse story came out the same way you were about the UVA case. All of the details in that case didn't make sense to me
right.
as someone who had covered college athletics for a long time. I'm not saying people don't hire strippers and throw like crazy parties. That happens, but it doesn't happen the way that it was reported in Duke lacrosse.
And the Duke lacrosse case was interesting because there was at least the framework of plausible facts, right? And then the story didn't line up. And then, of course, the guys were all innocent. They were charging somebody who was in an ATM machine miles away. I mean, the whole thing. And we all know Nifong, the prosecutor there, is an evil human being. I mean,
he went to prison.
He was disbarred. The woman, by the way, in that case, the accuser went on to murder somebody. They didn't her with a fake, essentially a fake report, false report. She went on to kill somebody or manslaughter. So maybe they should have charged her, just as an aside. Just like, you know, they're charging Jussie Smollett right now for false report, which is what they should be to bring this all full circle. But in the Rolling Stone magazine piece about UVA, it was a top to bottom fabrication.
Yes.
It was like a Russia collusion.
Kavanaugh gang rape allegations, which got covered like they were real. I mean, all of this, I would just say in general, be skeptical of everything that you read. Be skeptical. Just in the back of your mind, be thinking, wait a minute, is this really true? Because so much of it is not.
And this is why I'm furious about, I saw you tweeting about it too, and I knew you would be over the weekend. The way they're talking about Waukesha, they're writing the headlines for Waukesha, for the mass murder, hate crime / domestic terror attack in Waukesha. The way they're writing about it, it's like, you know, a garbage truck came off the emergency brake and a tragedy ensued. No, a human being killed a lot of people. And we can come to that in the second hour, too. We got more on Fauci as well. Clay, we got a busy day here on the show.
No doubt. Alex Berenson in the third hour. Stay tuned.